tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. Yes, Lord. And this is my song. Praising. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I saw the Lord, and I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never, he will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never, he will never fail. Oh my God, it's too good. He will never fail. He won't. Amen, amen. My God will never fail. They say, my God will never, hasn't failed me yet. Amen. I'm not expecting him to. He's undefeated. Forever, zero. He's undefeated. Amen. I just ask you to bow your heads while we say a prayer over the service. Dear precious Lord, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for your presence to come down on us on a Wednesday, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for being able to be in the house, Lord God, not having any ailments, Lord God, not having anything to hold us back, Lord God. There's so many things that can derail us, Lord God, on this journey, Lord God, but you are with us with every step, Lord God. Lord God, you are the only God. You are the mighty God, the highest, the King of kings, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you put us here tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we just ask, Lord, that you bless our brother as he come out, Lord God, and he minister your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, let it create such an atmosphere, Lord, that it create restoration and change, Lord God. Lord, and no matter what goes on this service, may you get all the glory out of it, Lord God. For you are God alone, Lord Jesus, and we love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. I just ask you to sing this song with me, and then we're going to invite the brother out, pastor out. Is he here? Thanks, man. Brother Jack out. You are God, you are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God created in my mortal man. There we go. You are not a God in need of anything we can give, and by your plan, that's just the way. Just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, and the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You were God alone. Oh, you're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone from before time began. Your throne, oh, you are God. Oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, well, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Sing it again. Say, you are God alone. And from before time began, yes, you are on your throne. Oh, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. Oh, you are God alone. And from before time began, yes, you are on your throne. Oh, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. For you are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Oh, you're unchangeable. You're unshakable. Oh, you're unstoppable. Oh, that's what you are. You are God alone. You are God alone. And from before time began, oh, you are on your throne. For you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, and right now, in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne. For you are God alone.
Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Just wanted to introduce Brother Quentin tonight. He'll be coming to minister to our hearts, and really thank God for him and all the other brothers that the Lord has blessed us with. Amen. And we look for opportunities that we can get a chance to hear these brothers just minister to our needs. So Brother Quentin's going to come, amen, in his own special way tonight. Amen. Let's say praise the Lord as he comes. Amen. God bless you. Let's put our let's give him a clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints. If the musicians could play real softly as we go before the Lord in a word of prayer before we start the evening. Oh, precious Lord God, we come before you, oh Lord God. And we want to thank you, oh Lord God, for this opportunity, oh Lord Jesus Christ, to come before your feet to worship you, oh Lord God. Lord, we know that you are indeed worthy, O Lord God, and you are the Lamb, O Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one, O Lord God, who was foreordained before the world, the foundation of the world, O Lord God, to be our Savior, to be our Deliverer, to be our healers, to be our Provider, O Lord God, to be our Protector, O Lord God. And Lord, because of this, O Lord God, you've sent to us in this hour, O Lord, a message, O Lord God, that caught onto our heart, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there are millions, maybe billions in the world, O Lord, that call themselves Christians, O Lord God, and they pray to you and they cry out to you, O Lord God. But Lord, I like to think, O Lord God, not to be, just to kind of stay humble about it, when we say something, O Lord God, it does something a little bit different for you, O Lord God. When you hear our voice, O Lord God, when you hear our prayers, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord, Lord, when you see us crying out in distress and worry, O Lord God, when you hear that sound of our voice, our personal voice, O Lord God, I believe, O Lord God, it does something greater, O Lord God, than all of the other cries in the world, O Lord God. O Lord, and this is because you fashioned us like yourself, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we're crying out with your voice, O Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, your word is the only thing that you respect, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we thank you, O Lord God. Lord, you've answered our prayer. You've answered our needs, O Lord God, before the battle even started, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, a lot of us, O Lord, can look back in our lives, O Lord God, and we can see how far you've brought us, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, some of us were in the muck, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, some of us were rebellious, O Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us didn't even want nothing to do with church, O Lord Jesus Christ. But because of your love, O Lord Jesus Christ, because of your mercy, O Lord God, because of your favor, O Lord God, Lord, you picked us up, O Lord God. And not only did you pick us up, O Lord God, you forgave all of our sins and you cleansed us, O Lord God. And not only did you just forgive our sins and cleanse us, O Lord God, but Lord, you said that we would be the apple of your eye, O Lord God. We would deserve a spot, O Lord, in heaven right next to you, O Lord God. So, Lord, we just thank you for this favor that you've given us, O Lord God. Touch the people, O Lord God. Lord, you see the needs on their heart, O Lord God. But, Lord, we know you already have the answer, O Lord God. O Lord, the salvation question, O Lord, it was answered before Adam took one step on the earth, O Lord Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we can stand with confidence knowing that before we get into something, O Lord, the answer has already been there. It's already there, O Lord God. Lord, help us just to praise you, O Lord God. No matter how tough it gets, O Lord God, you are a worthy God, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let nothing but praise and worship come through our lips, O Lord God, for you truly and deeply deserve all, O Lord God. And we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. So we will get right into the word. Thank you, musicians. So before you take your seats, we're going to do our scripture reading out of Revelation 19:7, and just say amen once you get there. All right, and it reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice." And I like that because it's God telling us that, yeah, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what we're going through, we might be sad, we might be have a low countenance, but God here can give us the words for us to be glad and to rejoice, right? And it says, "And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And may the Lord add a blessing to his word, as you may be seated. So the title of my message, if you could pull up the slides, I created some slides for us to go through. The title of the message the Lord gave me was The Body of Christ, with a subtitle of Positioned for a Rapture, right? And so we're going to go back to the vision that we, the quote that we did before. In the previous message, I talked about the true church of God, and we went through the prophecy that was fulfilled. So we're going to go through back. We're going to go back onto that. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit preached in 54, paragraph 87. We're just going to read a little bit of it. We won't read the whole entire thing. And I'll just start reading it. And it says, "Go." You can go, and we're going to go all the way down to the sentence that starts with and I tell you. And I just started reading it. And it says, "And I tell you that the true church of God will be drove together, the real true believers," right? So God knows that these people are real believers. They believe the word of God. They believe every word. And notice where they're coming from. Out of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, whatever they'll be, will be together and cemented by the love of God. And this is the statement we want to focus on. That'll make the body of the Lord Jesus Christ all the believers, right? All the believers will make up the body of God. And so I remember before we talked about, we had a lesson on the spiritual gifts in the church, if you remember me teaching about that, emphasizing how the gifts in the church do make up the body. But now we want to place the emphasis on a rapturing body, all right? Not just a body doing a service on a work on the earth. So, you know, there's many singers, great singers out there. You have great ministers out there. You have saints with gifts of healing and great gifts of faith. All of these great gifts, but if they don't have the light of their day, right, if they don't have the word that has been revealed in this end time, it means that they are a sleeping virgin, right, meaning that they will miss a rapture. They won't make a rapture, right? So we have to go beyond just the gifts, amen. Paul said, if I don't have love, right, but all the gifts, it profiteth me nothing. Right. Paul taught us that thing, which is why the rapture couldn't come in the Pentecostal age. Right. Even though it was a great age, the Pentecostal age, if you read what happened there, it brought people from all races together that normally hated each other. Right. So it was a big movement and the gifts were pouring out, but it still didn't bring a rapture. Right. With all of that togetherness, with all of that love and that they had together in that gathering, it still did not produce a rapture. Right. So we can say that they were still living in shadows. Right. And you can't make a rapture living in the shadows. And I like how the prophet talked about, or the Bible talks about, the foolish virgins and the 144,000, how during the tribulation, when they're being killed off for their faith, they'll call out to God, right, to avenge their blood. They'll call out to God to judge for what the people have done for them. And the prophet said that showed that they were not bride material. They were very, very good people, right? They had gifts flowing and everything, but when it came time to forgive their enemy, there's something they could not do, right? But the bride, when we look to contrast to the bride, when the bride is persecuted, right, she says, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do," right? Showing that she is a spitting image of Christ himself, right? So the body has to be positioned a certain way in order to make a rapture. It won't just be anybody. And I like to think about it this way, how, you know, if let's say we had a football game and someone had wrote up a play, right? And they wanted you to be at a certain point at a certain time in order for the ball to get to your hand. And if you follow through with the play and you make the catch and you score, you know, you get all the glory. And that's kind of like how the rapture is. God is looking for a particular person to be at a particular position at a particular time so that they'll be caught away, right? And if you don't, if you were going on to this route and you missed it, right, well, then you don't get the glory, right? And you're going to have opposition, right? You'll always have opposition. But that's why God said, "To he that overcometh will he grant." So you have to fight your way into your position, right? Getting to the rapture will not be an easy thing. When Christ was getting to his rapture, he had to go through a cross, which meant he had to fight. But instead of using his words and his hands, he was fighting with love, right? So that's how we have to be too. Now, man has their own ideas how, you know, the rapture should be. You know, we've had this big thing that came up where everybody thought the rapture was happening yesterday. It was all over TikTok and stuff. So everybody got their idea about when the rapture is going to happen and what time is it going to be. And everybody's looking for it. And, you know, we're still here right now. So, right. So man has their own ideas about these things, but we want God's ideas, right? So if you could pull up, I believe it's the third slide with the slide with the umbrellas. Right there. All right. So you've probably seen these images shared on social media. and I really do like them. I like, well, I like this one here. The first one by Bill Gothard. This is a denominational preacher. And he has, you know, the biblical order of the family where we see Christ, husband, wife, and children. And I like that because that is, we find that in the Bible as, Paul talked about how these things should be ordered. But then there's this group of people that didn't appreciate that structure. And they said that it, with the husband on top, it gave in to the patriarchy and stuff like that. So they decided to come up with their own image right here on the right of this thing, right? And so it has Christ. And so you see the pastor, the daughter, the husband, the wife, the son, the neighbor, and they're all on the same level. And they threw a little scripture under there. And, you know, you have to be careful about when people try to give you interpretations and then throw a scripture at you. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, he gave him the scripture. So you have to be able to pierce through these things to see, okay, what is your intention behind these things? And a lot of these people were attacking how the husband was in a certain position, right? And so we're going to kind of go through this thing, because I do like this one left by Bill Gothard, but like I said, he was a denominational preacher. So if you take this structure to the Catholic Church, you'll get a Catholic revelation with it. If you take it to a Baptist church, you'll get a Baptist revelation with it. But I believe that I'm sitting here with the pleasure to talk to some eagles that don't have a denominational stand, but they have been revealed the message. So we want to take this thing and kind of maybe elevate it, right, to show the revelation that we have today. And so if you could turn to the next slide. And the next one, not this one. Right, so here we go. This is the slide I was inspired to come up with, that is, and it's probably a little bit hard for you to read, but I'll go through and read it. Here's something that's called, I call it the body of Christ. And at the top, you'll see it's Jesus Christ. And the next diagram down, you'll see it's trust. We'll get to what that means. And then below that, we have major prophets, right? And then below the major prophets, we have the fivefold ministry. And then below the fivefold ministry, we have men. And then below the men, we have women. And below the women, we have children, right? So this is a little bit more different because I wanted to incorporate, well, yes, we want a family structure under Christ, but we want something tailored that can help us see the light for our day. And you cannot have a light for your day without a major prophet being over all of these things in a closest position to Christ, right? So this diagram is actually a spiritual diagram. Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So that's why you have Christ, and then you have the major prophets. And then Paul said the fivefold ministry was given for the perfecting of the saints. So saints, you can't perfect yourself. A saint cannot perfect themselves, right? The scripture says so. And if a saint cannot perfect themselves, how can you make a rapture? All right. God is looking for a perfect body, and we're going to get to that a little bit later, how important perfection is. And then Paul, of course, said, you know, husbands, love your wives, and wives submit to your husbands. And then we also have here where the children are under the men and women, as, you know, children obey your parents, right? So, and I just kind of want to take a pause here because, when we talk about the rapture a lot, I feel like it tends to be aimed at a lot of older people, right? But, you know, you kids and children, you guys can make a rapture too, right? So a lot of times, you know, we talk about, you know, when the rapture happens, you'll get a body change from old to young. But, you know, you kids that are outside of that 18 to 21-year-old range, you'll get a body change from younger to young, right? So when Brother Branham, his baby daughter, her name was Sharon Rose, when she died, he saw her as a baby. But when God granted him a vision to go up in heaven, and this young lady came up to him, and he's like, who is this? 18-year-old, 20-year-old looking woman, and it was his little baby girl, right? So she got a body change going up. So you young people, don't think that you can't receive revelation. The rapture is for a predestinated seed. It has nothing to do with age. It has all to do with who God's name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that means that, you know, if all the adults in the world catch revelation that they're the bride, But there is this 15-year-old girl in South America that has not caught revelation, but her name is on the book. Until she knows who she is, the rapture will not happen. She may think she's 15 and insignificant, but until she catches revelation because her name is there, the rapture will not will take off. So we need children to know their position too. Don't think that just because, you know, people are talking down to me or I got to obey my parents. No, we want to prepare you for a rapture as well, right? God won't rapture a disobedient child. You can't, if the rapture comes and God comes on earth and he sees that a child has a disobedient spirit, I can't see God rapturing somebody like that, right? He's calling us out of all of these things, right? So I like this diagram, you know, because it's helping to prepare the church for a rapture. And I like it, too, because did you know that families can also be raptured, right? Even though it's an individual walk, it is true. Families can be raptured. So if you could turn to the message, Thy House, preached in 61, we're going to read paragraphs 113 and then 113 through 118. All right, so paragraph 113, this is a brother talking to Brother Branham. Brother Branham's like, all right, Jimmy, have you got them, my boy? Brother Jimmy Evans reads the question for Brother Branham, and this is the question. When the rapture takes place, will all believers' families, wives, and children go? They are in faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And paragraph 114, Brother Branham says, yes, yes. Will all the family go in the rapture? See, yes, see. Now, if you notice, the rapture is going to be a universal thing. So wouldn't that be a lovely thing that, you know, you have prepared yourself for a rapture. And then when the rapture begins to take place, it's not only you just going, but all your family that is with you is going to the marriage supper as well. Right. Can you imagine Brother Marquise just being raptured up, and then as he's going up and being translated, he sees his wife and every single one of his kids going with him to the marriage supper. Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? A lot of times we tend to think about the rapture. It is an individual walk, but that would be such a blessing that if you were to be raptured and every single one of your loved ones was going up in the sky with you as well. We have these kind of faith, right? We have this kind of word that the prophet has given us. Now, reading in verses 116 through 117, he says, now, we was talking today, the brethren, you say, well, Brother Branham, if you believe the rapture is that close, then why do you go fishing? If I put my mind to it constantly, it would almost run you wild. When you think of the tens of thousands of people out here in sin that don't know Christ and think that here I am, what can I do? But here's what I think. I cannot save one unless God has called them. See, I can't do it. And I couldn't save them anyhow, but all the Father has given me will come to me. So he don't tell me where to go, then what can I do, you see? And I want to give you encouragement because you may have loved ones that are out there. But if God wrote their name on the book, you don't have to be worrying. A lot of times people there, you might be praying every single day and you're stressed out and you're, Lord, when are they coming in? Lord, when are they coming in? Don't do that, right? Just get up. Eat you a nice big breakfast, go on your day smiling. If God wrote their name on the book, when you rise up, they will rise up too with you wherever they are. Amen. When we thank God for these precious promises that he has given us, right? So that's why I like this diagram, because it places emphasis on, you know, we want to get the family ready for a rapture. We want to, that, if God could give us the faith, we want all of our loved ones to make it. So we have to have something different than what the world has, right? So in order to truly understand this positioning and to gain more of appreciation for it, we have to go way back into the beginning to pick up on some of the things that God showed us in Scripture. And it's good to see how God did things through history, because it allows us to have more appreciation and to thank him, you know, for what he's done. Because when you think about the first age saints, and it was a time of life, a time of so much light, but they all had to give up their life for Christ. They had to go through some gruesome deaths. But here we are in an age where we have a life where we can just bypass death. So we don't have to die for Christ. So it's good to see how God done things in the past and how he's doing things now, just to give us more of an appreciation. And we also want to see how he established and why he established these things before we elaborate on each of the roles. So we're going to go to the next slide, right? And this is going to be a slide where we have just Jesus and Adam. And this was the original position, right? So when God created the garden, it was just Jesus and Adam, right? There was no real positioning because Adam was the direct spoken word of God, right? He had every single authority that God had, right? So then after the creation of Adam's wife, if we go to the next slide, we're going to see, and you don't ignore those little arrows. It's supposed to be like a little circle going around. But now we see Jesus Christ, Adam, and Adam's wife. And you'll notice how we have those words, trust and faith, on the side. They were living in a perfect faith. They were living in a perfect trust. It was implicit, meaning they didn't have to, put any effort in order to build their faith. So when we come to church, you know, we'll have the song leader will come up. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to encourage your faith. He's trying to lift up your faith. He's trying to build your faith in Christ. He's trying to build your trust in Christ. So when the word comes forth, you can have faith. But they didn't have any of that in the garden. It was just so implicit, right? It was so natural, right? But then we have the fall. So if we can turn to the next slide here. And this is after the fall, right? So here we still have Jesus protecting his family. But now notice trust is in its own circle, right? So that shows that now the trust has been broken, right? Now man has broke the trust and God can't trust him like he did before, right? So now we have this circle of trust that's been placed around them. Right. And it's going to help us to illustrate and give more clarity to how we look at these different positions that we'll see. And trust, if you know, trust is a two-way street. So God isn't only wanting us to trust in him, but God wants to have trust in you. God wants to be able to give a word to you, or God wants to be able for you to go out into a certain situation without praying. And he wants to see how you're just going to naturally handle it. Because he wants to trust that the seed he placed on inside of you will just take fruition, right? So now we see this structure that we have here, and we see that Eve, she fell, right? She fell, right? But Adam fell a little bit, right? So even though both of them fell, God had more trust in Adam than he did with Eve. Right. And we'll get to that a little bit later on, because it's important to understand these positioning roles. And so one of the things is I don't know who the first prophet in the Bible was. I was reading an interesting verse that talked about Abel and stuff, but I couldn't see anything that the prophet said about it. But what I do know from looking in the messages is that Enoch was a prophet. Right. Enoch was a prophet in the lineage of Adam. So now we have this structure. If you could turn to the next slide, right? So now we have the Enoch age, and we have Jesus Christ, we have trust, and we have this thing called a major prophet. So it's important for us to understand that not only was Enoch a prophet, but he was a major prophet, right? Major prophet. I know it's kind of hard to see. It's the yellow circle right there, but Enoch was a major prophet. So we're going to read a little bit from the Laodicean church age. It doesn't give a year that it was preached, but I just put some words up there for you to search it by. We're going to come through here and see what the prophet had to say about this. And I can start reading. All right, so he says here, before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. So this is something that the prophet really wants us to dig deep down into our souls, right? First, this age, which is our age, will have one prophet messenger. Revelation 10:7 says, when he, singular, shall begin to sound, there has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time. He gave Enoch alone. He gave Noah alone. He gave Moses, he alone had the word, though others prophesied. And that's where we see the fivefold ministry kind of come in. John the Baptist came alone. Now in his last day, there is to be a prophet. And notice he says, not a prophetess. Though in this age there are more women purporting to give God's revelation than man. And we want to stop there just a little bit because it's so true. I've noticed that how, you know, on social media, it's a lot more women that are pushing the gospel than guys that are pushing the gospel, right? And it shows how different, you know, the message church is. Because one of the things, as long as I've been in the message, I've never seen a female, you know, give the word, right? So I believe that the message is one of the few belief systems out there where they don't have females, you know, giving the word. Even the Catholic Church, though they're dirty dogs, right, they don't ordain female priests. I went online and I said it, if a Catholic female priest were tried to, you know, say that she's a cardinal or whatever, the Catholic Church, they excommunicate it. They're like, nope, we're not associated with this thing, right? So, and I thought that was pretty interesting because Brother Branham said that if you go and talk to these people, you'll see that these denominations, they have all these debates, you know, Catholicism versus Protestant, and they're trying to convert each other. They're trying to prove each other. They're trying to show which one is right. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, the females in the pulpit, you see that in a lot of the Protestant religion, especially the Pentecostals. And it's like you can't convince a Catholic that your religion is right with a female taking charge. They will not believe that. They'll not believe something like that. And God has children in Catholicism, right? It's kind of like, you know, if you go to a homeless person on the street and they're eating out of a trash can, you're like, you tell them, you know, I know a better trash can than that, right? Like, no homeless person, that's not going to make a homeless person excited, right? Now, if you go to a homeless person, you say, hey, man, I got a house for you. You got hot water, got cold water, you got AC, you got a bed and stuff. Then that's something that could get them excited. So when we go to these denominations, we got to bring them something that's pure. Right. And the message that we've been given today is something that is familiar to any seed of God. And when they hear that, they'll know, hold on a second, this is different from what I've heard from these churches, or this is different from what I heard from in my church. Right. So we have to bring them something that is pure, something that is different, something that is original. Right. To catch their attention. Right. And so continuing on with this quote that he said here. And it says here, and the infallible word says that he, the prophet, will, these are important things. He will reveal the mysteries to the end time people and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, right? Those are important things we want to keep in our minds, because we want to make sure that we know there are no mysteries with us. You want to make sure that there is no mysteries not revealed to you. And you also want to make sure that your heart has been turned back to God so that you can now claim to be under this certain ministry, right? So we're going to focus on right now the prophet saying, well, he will reveal the mysteries. Like I said, we want to see how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So going back to Brother Enoch, right, who we know was a major prophet. Now, according to Adam's generational lineage, we know that Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam, right? Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. And we also know that Enoch was the first person ever in history to be raptured and translated. That's what the prophet said. The Bible says he walked with God until he was translated. So we want to kind of get we want to get in depth with this thing to kind of see exactly what's going on here. So we're going to go read Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And just say amen once you get there so we can kind of go through this thing. So I'll start reading. It says here, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, right? So we see here, right, the Bible establishes how this is the righteous lineage of God, right? Because we know Cain had his own lineage, but this is the righteous lineage coming directly from God, right? And so after Seth, because we know that Abel was, of course, killed. So after Seth, you know, there were other sons of God. There was Enos, Cain, Mahalalel, Jared, and then there was Enoch. So we see here that there were righteous sons of God before Enoch, right? And a righteous generation of sons of God after Enoch too. But Enoch did something different from them in order to get a rapture, even though all of these sons of God were righteous and they were sons of God, right? So I come to say this is that, you know, we don't want to just be a good person, right? We don't want to just be good people in church. We don't want to be just tithes payers. And, you know, we pay our offering and we show up to church every single Sunday and we sing and we're good people and stuff like that. No, we want to know, is there more to God than this? We want to make sure that we can get whatever God has, the most that God has to offer. We want to make sure that we have every single bit of this thing, right, to make us different, right? And so, you know, in Luther's age and Wesley's age and the Pentecostal age, you know, these were all very good people and sons and daughters of God, but the rapture didn't happen during their time because they were missing something, right? So if I had a phone where I could just call heaven and I could talk to Enoch, I would ask him, Enoch, what did you do different? What made you different than Seth? What made you different than Enos? What made you different than all of these other righteous sons of God? What was it about your walk that got you translated? You know, well, we thank the prophet that he had these answers for us. So in the message, the great coming revival and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost preached in 54, and it's going to be paragraph 14. And we're just going to read just one sentence from it. And I'll just go ahead and read that real quick. It says here, Enoch had preached and many others. So Enoch had a message, right? Enoch had a message during his time. And if you remember, Enoch had a father, he had a mother, he had a grandfather, he had a grandmother, he had uncles, he had aunts, he had cousins, he had a wife. The Bible says he even had a child, he had friends. But only Enoch was the person that was translated out of all of these people, right? So, you know, you can't, you know, especially like you children, you can't depend upon the relationship of your father and the relationship of your mother, right, in order for God to give you a rapture, right? And if you're a father or mother, if your child has a revelation, you can't depend upon the revelation of your child. You know, you can't depend upon the revelation of your son or the daughter. You got to have something. God has to give you something for yourself, right? So when it comes to predestination, it is not family affiliation is in a sense is taken out of the equation. And that's why if you notice on the slide, I like how I put here the Enoch age, I put hidden ministry, right? This was something that only Enoch knew during that time, right? So you have to have revelation for yourself. So the Bible says Enoch walked the walk. So that means people saw him, and they must have saw that there was something different about Enoch than everybody else, right? They must have saw that, you know, Enoch, he's just different from, he just, the things he talk about, like, I just don't understand what he's saying. His son probably was like, Dad, I just don't know what you're talking about. And he would talk to his wife, and his wife like, honey, I don't know what you are talking about, right? And that's just to let you know, like, when you go into the workplace, when you go into your school, you know, denominational Christians should see something different about you, right? You guys should not be on the same level. You know, a denominational Christian shouldn't be able to talk to you and say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian just like me. No. They got to see there's something peculiar about you, right? The things that you believe, the things that you say, the way you walk, right? They got to say, nah, you're different. Like, I've been in church, but nah, this person right here, they're a little bit more different, right? Because we're also looking at patterns and how God has done things, right? So let's see why Enoch was different. You know, I can imagine some of his family members, you know, they saw Enoch out here, and it was like, man, Enoch, you're always out there building on this pyramid, right? You're always out there working on this pyramid, because the history books would tell you that the Egyptians built the pyramids, but the prophet said that Enoch was the first person to build a pyramid, right? And this is why we can see why this man was so special. So we're going to go read the message, The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride, preaching 64. And it's going to be a lot of reading here. We're going to be reading paragraph 411 through 419. And I'll start reading since it's so much here to read. It says here, Brother Branham illustrates to the blackboard. There is the great seal. Here it is. See the city? It's not just a flat cube like this, but it leans up so it can't be seen. And upon this holy mountain, the Lord shall descend upon top of the of his mountain. Here he is. That's the reason the capstone wasn't put on by Enoch. See, that's the reason the capstone has to come now in our age. And the mountain will be pushed up, and it'll be the mount of the Lord. And in here will dwell the redeemed. These avenues, big freeways as it was, parks, and the river life will draw, run through it. And every house will be made of transparent gold, and the streets will be made of gold, and the trees. And he's talking about your future home, right? This is, right, you got to have revelation that that's your address, right? You got some property. You got some real estate on this mountain. Right. And I love mountain property. Every time I go through Tennessee and I see the houses sticking out of the mountains, I love me some mountain property. Right. It says, and every house will be made of transparent gold, and the streets will be made of gold, and the trees of life will be there and will bear 12 manners of fruit. And the kings and the honored men of the earth shall bring their honor and glory into the gates, and the gates shall not shut by night, because there is no night. And he says here, in the city where the Lamb is the light. And we're going to go down to paragraph 413. Says, don't you see that the towns, the cities, the house, the dwellings are speaking of that right now? All these natural things are a shadow. Take a shadow at a distance like my hand. Before there could be a positive or a negative, there has to be a positive. And you see that shadow. Look, I've got a dozen fingers, but then when you go to getting it closer, it focuses down to one, and then the shadow fades into the hand, right? So shadows, the purpose of a shadow is to be done away with once it gets to the original real thing, right? And that's a lot of time. People think there's three or four gods. You're looking too far back in the early Reformation. See, come on down now and you'll find focus in till there's one. That's exactly. There is one bride, not a dozen denominations, but one bride. That's the elected out of the earth that's been predestinated to this, the ones who can recognize their place in the kingdom. On this throne, look so high, the new city with the foundations, 12 gates, Jesus, the headstone, the apostles judging the 12 tribes. And I want to focus in on this paragraph 418. He says, the pyramid of Enoch, the pyramid that Enoch built, cast no shadow, no time of the day. I've been in Egypt at the pyramids. It's so geographically fixed in the dimensions of this great geometrical figure that no matter where the sun is, there is never a shadow around the pyramid. See how it is? Right? So this kind of gives us an insight on the kind of revelation that Enoch had during his time. So the prophet taught us that there were three Bibles. God made three Bibles. The first Bible was the Zodiac. Right. That's what Job used to do, to sacrifice to God, and also to recognize that if he made a sacrifice for his kids, God would receive it, too. He read that in the stars. The third Bible is the one that every single one of us have right now. It's on paper. But the second Bible was the pyramid that Enoch built. Right. So when Enoch built a pyramid, the prophet said he built a pyramid, which was a representation of the word, where there were no shadows. When the light shined onto this thing, there were no shadows. So he had a revelation in type, right, of a word where there was no mysteries. No wonder the man was raptured, right? No wonder he was taken away. No wonder he walked the walk, right? He walked this walk that pleased God, that nobody else could understand what this thing, what was going on. And it's a type for us today that we too need a message today that has no shadows, right? No shadows, no mysteries, right? We can't be guessing. We have to know exactly where we stand. We have to be able, and I like it because the prophet, When the prophet said that he unveiled the mysteries, right? What it did was it gave me and you the ability to go through the Bible and see Jesus Christ in every single verse, right? And when you're able to identify Christ in all things, when the rapture come, you'll be able to identify him, right? So that's why a lot of people are, you tell these things to these people and they don't understand. They don't see it. They don't see Christ. You know, you have some of the black Israelites, I guess what they call it, it's a religion that they got where they believe they're the true Israelites. You don't want to be no Jew, right? These people are walking around. They don't even know what they're saying, right? The Jews says, the Bible says that only 144,000 Jews would be saved. But when the prophet went into heaven and he said, is Paul and Peter here? The angel told him, yes, he's here. He said, well, I know I'll make it because, you know, I preach what they preach. And the Bible said the millions said we are resting on that. So why put your odds on 144,000 when there's millions? The prophet had millions behind him that was in heaven, that was able to make a rapture. Amen. Right? We need a message today that has no shadows, no mysteries, right? We want everything that God has for us. Amen. That's why, you know, and we'll get a little bit later on into this thing. You can kind of tell somebody's spirit by the way they treat a prophet. You can kind of tell what group they belong to just by how they treat the prophet's ministry, right? So going on with this, we see how Enoch, we can't say he had the spirit of Elijah, right? Because Elijah wasn't born yet, right? And because he didn't, the prophet said that he did not cap the pyramid on there, right? Because it was a type. But he had a ministry similar to it, though, because he was raptured, right? And the next person raptured after him was Elijah, right? And so I say this to say that, you know, you have to be a pyramid builder, too. Right. In this day and age, you all have to be we all have to be pyramid builders. Right. Just like Enoch. And you might say, you know, well, I don't have an engineering degree. You know, I don't know what it is. What I use concrete? Do I use clay? You might be asking these things. And I'm not talking about that kind of pyramid. If you could turn to the next slide.
Yes, brother.
Right. The prophet gave us the building plan for a spiritual pyramid. Right. Starting with faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And notice the capstone that Enoch couldn't put on his pyramid, right? Which is the Holy Ghost for us today, right? And a lot of times it trips up. A lot of people get it tripped up, you know, especially a lot of young people, and they get it mixed up about, you know, how do I know if I have the Holy Ghost, right? The prophet put it this way. If you recognize the message for your day and you're able to say amen and live the life. Because only God can live his word, right? Only God can live his word. So we have to be pyramid builders in this time. And we also have to have a pyramid that has no shadows. That means, you know, if God shines a light on your life, you know, you can't be hiding anything. You know, some people want to drink in the message. And if the light shines on there and it casts a shadow, you ain't ready yet. Some people say, you know, well, God created all the plants and for us to be able to use and stuff. And God shines a shadow, shines a light on that and it's cast a shadow. Nope. This thing, God won't cap the pyramid until it's perfect. Right. God will not cap the pyramid until it's a perfect pyramid. You know, children, if you're not obeying your kids and God comes down and shines a light on that, your pyramid, and there's a shadow, he won't cap the thing. You know, if you don't go to church, right? Oh, well, I listen to tapes. But if God shines the light of the fivefold ministry and you cast in a shadow, God can't cap a pyramid like that. Right? You have to be perfect. Right? You got to be perfect. Right? So the difference with Enoch's ministry was that he had a pyramid with no shadows because he revealed mysteries. It was a type. But the problem was he didn't turn anybody's heart, right? He was the only person raptured, right? So we have to keep this in mind as we're going through our journey and we start to talk about these different things. So, you know, we talked about how the Brother Branham said that there will only be four raptures, right? Enoch was the first, Elijah was the second, Jesus Christ was the third, and then the bride will receive a rapture, of course, in this day and age. So, and we can kind of see, though, in each of these raptures that there is an emphasis of Elijah's spirit on these people that have been raptured, right? So if you're living in any age, you want to have the spirit that can recognize where is Elijah's spirit so that I can attach on to this thing, right? It's important for us to recognize this thing. And so we're going to contrast this thing over with another major prophet that was sent after Enoch. And this major prophet, of course, was Noah. Noah had his own separate age. So you can turn to the next slide and we'll see this is Noah's age, which looks pretty similar to Enoch's. And a lot of times people confuse ministries and get things mixed up. But it's important to recognize the ministries that are going on during your time on earth so that you can know what time it is. So now we see God has raptured Enoch away, but now God is sending Noah onto the scene, right? And this is during a time where God's people have gotten away from the word, right? So this is another thing we want to see with this major prophet position. When God sends a major prophet, it's either two things. It's either a really, really, really good thing, or it's either a really, really, really bad thing, right? And you want to have the spirit where it's a good thing, right? Because one of the purposes, like I said, for a major prophet coming on the scene is when God's people have gotten away from the word, he's got to send this guy onto this, not the fivefold ministry. Notice we haven't gotten to the fivefold ministry yet, right? And the fivefold ministry is important, but the word of the Lord comes to the prophets first. So God has to send a major prophet onto the scene to get his people back into step, right? So we're at a time right now where the world has gotten into a horrible, horrible condition. And we're gonna go to Genesis 5, 28, 32, just to kind of get a buildup of how this thing happened. 5:28-32. And it says here, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and beget sons and daughters. So Noah was born, and now Noah has brothers and sisters, right? And verse 31 says, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? So we see some key things here. First, there's something special about Noah because his birth, you know, the Bible says something about him. We know there's something special with what he has to do. And the next thing is that we see Lamech was his father. And it's funny how the Bible said he lived to be 777 years old, which is 777 is of course, God's number of completion. And 3 is God's number of perfection. So we see perfect completion. Right. And so we can see and of course, a lot of us Bible readers already know that Noah was the last person, right, that would be saved after Lamech had given birth to him. Right. So you might want to say, why is this thing important? Well, when you read Genesis chapter 5 means grace. And this is where we see Enoch's ministry. Right. And Brother Branham even said that God was sending Elijah's spirit 5 times, which was grace, G-R-A-C-E, faith, and then Jesus, right? And so, and then Lamech giving birth to Noah at the end of this chapter, it signifies the ending of this particular kind of grace, right? And then Noah's ministry we see begins in chapter 6 being the number of man, right? But it says that Noah found grace in the sight of God, but it was a different kind of grace, right? So not all grace is the same. And you'll notice a lot of people will be praying for God's grace, but you want God's best grace, right? You want to be able to identify with God's top grace. God gives grace to a lot of people, but you want to be the one that's on top, right? So we see in Noah's ministry, the reason why God's people got away from the word is because they did the same exact thing Eve did, right? They married the daughters of men of the world, right? The Bible said the sons of God saw the daughters of God and they went and married them. And God said, "What are you guys doing?" Right? He had just tried to separate. He kept the generations separate. Adam's generation was a lineage in his own, and Cain's generation was out there doing that. And he was trying to keep the group separate. God is always in the separating business. You can't bring stuff into your life. That's why you can't have a pyramid with shadows. You can't bring these things of the world in there. You can't bring these isms in the world. God is always trying to separate his people from the things of the world, right? So he sends the major prophet, and God decides that he's going to destroy the world. And we'll be closing soon because this is just a little bit much. God decided he's going to destroy the world, but of course he found grace in the sight of Noah. And we want to read. We won't get to that. So what we want to notice is that Noah had brothers and sisters during this time, right? And the thing about it was Enoch's message was a message that wasn't preached to everybody, right? Only he may have preached it. I'm not sure. But we know that it was a hidden ministry, a hidden revelation, because he was the only one that caught the revelation. On contrast to Noah, Noah preached to everybody, right? The prophet said Noah preached for 120 years. The ark was open. It was available for everyone to come, right? Showing the significance of how the rapture is only for a particular group. It's not just an everybody thing. Right. It's a particular group that gets there. But salvation represented by the ark, anyone can come. God wants everyone to come. God opened the doors for everyone. It was for everyone to come and be saved, showing that God's election is for his. But you can reject salvation. Right. So the prophet told us that only Noah and his immediate family were saved. So it was 8 souls out of the whole entire world. Right. And we want to take a minute in closing. We'll just kind of talk about this little statement right here. We want to take a minute to see why it was such a big deal, why God was so upset with his people for doing these things. If you remember, the prophet said that Abel's lineage were simple people, right? They were farmers, right? They was just trusting in God, right? But Cain's people were inventors. They made big cities. They had instruments. They had education and all of these things. And the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, the prophet said, and it's paragraph 121. I'll just go ahead and read it. The prophet said, "He brings us here on earth, for then we are educated, we're smart. Did you ever notice the lines, the lineages? When we take, for instance, like in Abel, from Abel comes Seth. Seth lineages come right on down onto Noah's time. All of them were humble farmers. But Cain's children become smart, shrewd, educated, great men, builders, professional men." Right? And we see that, because the people came from Abel coming from God, that they were a righteous people, meaning that they totally depended on God for everything, right? Because they were righteous. So God blessed their harvest. He gave them a bountiful harvest. You're right. There were no food shortages on this side. So we could think of it like north side and south side, right? You got Abel's people on the north side and Cain's people on the south side. And so, on Abel's side, no food shortages. They were healthy people, healthy, strong people. God blessed their families. So we should be seeing that in us today, because God is now doing the separating, right? And God said he wanted to give us an overflow, right? And what overflow does is it makes you look different than other people. So people should be able to tell just where you belong just by what God has done in your life. Isn't that right? So let's contrast this with Cain's people. They had big cities and they had the best medicine, right? They had the best security, police, and they had trade routes and all that stuff. But the problem is they were an unrighteous people, right? There was an unrighteous lineage. No wonder they needed the best medicine, right? They didn't have faith enough to ask God for healing. Brother Branham said that sometimes people don't have enough faith to heal a toothache, right? But God's people, when you get the Holy Spirit, you should be able to have faith, right, for God to heal your body, right? And, you know, HIV, it used to be a deadly disease because it was associated with a particular group, right? But nowadays, they got medications to try to cure it. So these people will do everything they can to stay healthy, but be righteous, right? If you live righteous, God will take the sickness away from you, right? So Cain's people were very shrewd and smart because they didn't want to be righteous, but they wanted to keep living on the earth, right? And no wonder Cain's people, you know, they had military police, they had police, they were murderers, right? But on Abel's side, people wasn't doing stuff over there. There was no need for police. You didn't have to have police officers, right? They were a peaceful people, right? And, you know, they needed, Cain's people needed, you know, smart, shrewd people, right? They needed divorce lawyers and divorce court, right? Because people was marrying in and not marrying in. But when you look at Abel's people, you ain't see none of those things over there with Abel's people, right? Cain's people, they needed the government, right, to develop programs for orphanages, right? And because parents would abandon their kids, but you didn't see none of that stuff with Abel's people, right? So it was a huge contrast. So when God saw these people, God saw God's people take all of them blessings and then put them over here with these wicked people, he got upset and said, no, I have to destroy this whole place. And you remember that, you know, it was only God only repopulated the earth with righteous people. Right. So in closing, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we are in a position. Right. We want to make sure that we've gone through the steps of justification, sanctification. God has cleansed us. You've been born again. Being born again means that you're now a son or daughter of God, right? But it doesn't stop there. We want to go on and building this pyramid as Enoch had, because when the prophet says something, we want to make sure that we don't have any shadows around us, that if the word were to come on us, if the word were to say something to us, right, it wouldn't be no shadows. We wouldn't have anything hidden. Shadows, when you have shadows, you can hide stuff. Right. But God's looking for a people that is fully open to his word. Right. So we're trying to go on to the step of being receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because God will not populate a vessel that has shadows and things hidden. No, God wants to be in a vessel where it's a direct image of himself. Right. So that he can live with his people and they'll be positioned for rapture. God bless you all. We're going to say a word of prayer just to close this out. Lord Jesus, we thank you, O Lord God, for your word, O Lord God. Lord Jesus, it's only by your grace that we can hear these things, O Lord God. Lord, as I said before, there's millions of Christians and billions of Christians in the world, O Lord God, and they're living life however they want to, O Lord God. Whatever doctrine, however they feel about a particular Bible verse, they'll interpret it in their own way, O Lord God, and they'll still be trying to worship you, O Lord Jesus. But Lord, you loved us so much that in this last day, you've given us a message, O Lord God. You've given us a guide, O Lord God. Lord, we can see that what we believe, as people try to challenge our beliefs and say it's just a man's message and stuff. But Lord, we can clearly see, O Lord God, that our lives are dovetailing with the scriptures, Lord, from Genesis, O Lord God, until now, O Lord God. So we thank you, O Lord God, for this revelation, O Lord, that you've given us, O Lord God. Lord, continue to bless the people, O Lord Jesus Christ, because you've given us your word, O Lord God. We're expecting to see a separation, O Lord God. We're expecting to see a separation in our workplace, O Lord God. Lord, we're expecting to see a separation in the schools, O Lord God. Lord, wherever our feet touch, O Lord God. Lord, we're expecting to see a separation in our health, O Lord God. Lord, we should be the healthiest people on earth.
turf, oh Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we shouldn't have to go to doctors and pay for drugs and all these things, oh Lord God. Lord, you cleansed us, oh Lord, and made us righteous, oh Lord, and separated us from the world, oh Lord God. So now we're expecting, oh Lord God, to see these things in our life, oh Lord God. We're expecting to see our families restored, Lord God. It was Cain's lineage, oh Lord, that had broken up families, oh Lord. But Lord, we're standing here, oh Lord God, in your word, and we're expecting to see our families, our loved ones restored, oh Lord God. Lord, oh God, we're coming with your word, oh Lord God, knowing that full well confidence that you will accomplish these things in our life, Lord, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We thank the Lord for the word of God on tonight from Brother Quentin. A lot of nuggets in there. And I was just thinking about him speaking. It just kind of came to my mind that he might have a series. just the way that all kind of came together, I can see he got more to give us, and we'll have to make room for that. But I enjoyed that, Brother Quentin. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And the separation that he was ending up there with Cain's group and Abel's group, and how when you really think about it, as believers, God has given us promises. In his word, others may not have those same promises. If, you know, a believer get diagnosed with cancer or any, you know, other disease, a believer has the ability to go to the word of God and apply the word of God. And one of those promises that if they lay hands on the sick, then they shall recover. And where a unbeliever has never even heard anything like that before. Right, but we as believers, we can take God at his word and expect God to do exactly what he said he would do. Amen. No matter what the situation is, even if you had a financial issue that you were battling, unbelievers go through financial problems. Believers go through financial problems. But a believer, a man, could stand there and look the devil in the eye and say, Lord, you told me that if I were to bring my tithes and my offering into the house of the Lord, the Bible promised that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. And not only that, you said you would open up the windows of heaven and you pour me out blessings where I had room not enough to receive. Father, this is your word. This is not my word. This is what you told me. So, amen, you can stand there with those that type of confidence and know that God is going to come through on your behalf no matter what it is that you're facing. I thank God for these promises. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I liked just how the Lord led them. Sometimes I'll tell you this, that God don't show us everything. He lets us grow into some things, and I just like that. I've had to experience that in my own ministry. Brother Quentin was saying, I didn't know who the first prophet was. And he says, but I knew Enoch was a prophet. And he went to Genesis 5, and he got that, and he just, you know, and I'm glad God didn't show him who the first prophet was, because we wouldn't have got all of that tonight. Right. So, but I'll give you the answer to who the first prophet was in the scripture. The first prophet was God himself. Amen. God himself. And his first prophecy was in Genesis 3:15. Right. And what he told Adam and Eve, and he said that her seed. I can't even remember the yeah, place put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. And just give me Genesis 3:15, because I can't get it right now, but I can read it out of the Bible. But that's the first. God himself was the first prophet, and Brother Branham actually brought that point out. So, but like I said, I'm so glad that he didn't show that all to Brother Quentin, because we wouldn't have got all that tonight. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So when he's prophesying about the woman's seed right here in the scripture, and this is the this was fulfilled when Mary came on the earth. So God was speaking of Mary right here in the scripture. He was speaking of Christ in this scripture right here, that Christ would be coming. This was a prophecy, amen, fulfilled in the days of Mary on the earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just love the way God do things. Amen. I love the way God do things. All right, let me have tonight's announcements. We have our Sunday service prayers start from 8:30 to 9:30, Sunday school from 8:45 to 9:15, and then our service will start promptly at 9:30. Our streaming continues through Facebook at SAT Tabernacle and our church website, john423.org. Communion and feet washing is going to be on Wednesday, October 8th at 7:30 p.m. We'll have communion and feet washing, so keep that in mind. Don't forget, for the young people, there is a banquet there at House of Fellowship on Saturday, October 4th from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can go to their website to do the registration there. And then the Bethel Youth Camp, Brother Jason Watkins is the pastor there in South Carolina. They're hosting the youth camp in Brevard, North Carolina. And that's going to be Thursday through Sunday, October 16th through 19th. And you can go to their website for registration there on the screen. Amen. Our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App. Zelle is preferred method because of no fees. But if you have to use Zelle or PayPal, you use giving at john423.org. Cash App, you use $SpiritandTruthT. And then our mailing address, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422, if you desire to mail an offering into the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those in the house of the Lord, you can use the wooden box as you enter or as you exit for your giving as well. Praise the Lord. All right. Do we have anyone that wants to share a testimony tonight? All right. Come on up, my brother. Come on up after him, my brother. Anybody else that want to share a testimony? All right. Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints. It was just fitting. I heard Brother Quentin speaking on just how Cain's lineage had to have all the doctors and medicine and advancements, and it's actually a part of my testimony of just thanking God. So my oldest son, Xavier, he had a real bad astigmatism in his eye. We took him to a doctor right here off of Okeechobee, and he had been a few times, and doctor like, yeah, you're going to need surgery, this and that, and I'm like, okay, you know, I didn't go the first couple of times, but I heard my, I was like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, nah, he ain't gonna need no surgery, but. So he just kept going. He kept saying, yeah, we'll see him back in this many months. We're gonna check it again. No changes. And I took off from work, and I went up there. We all went. And I seen the gentleman. We waited in this room. It was real crowded. I seen the gentleman, and we went in the room. He's like, yeah, he's gonna need surgery. And I was like, well, is the surgery going to actually fix it, or is it like cosmetic? He was just explaining, yes, yeah, it's only going to fix part of it. But I said, so it's not going to actually fix the issue. He's like, no. I was like, well, that's cosmetic. He don't need it. He's like, no, he need it. And he's like, he told my wife just like this, mom, don't listen to him. He need it. And I'm like, he just tell my wife not to listen to me. That was the first thing in my mind, but you know, I just, and usually in those situations, you know, that it catches you by surprise. So I had to kind of, all right, God, what did he just say? Like, I had to run it again just to make sure. You know, I sometimes we get in our feelings. So I just wanted to make sure. I was like, and he said it again. And I was like, Okay, after that, I didn't even say anything to talk to him. And we left. Right after we left, I told my wife, yeah, we need to find him a new doctor. Quick. And then a whole thing going where she was supposed to take him back for a checkup, and something happened with his insurance where we couldn't even go back to him anything. We just had a hard time trying to find a certain doctor, and Lord actually put it on my sister-in-law's heart to talk to my wife about a certain doctor, and we had to drive down to Hollywood in Miami to go to a specialist. So he'd been going there for a little bit. We just went, what was that, about a month ago, maybe less, a couple weeks ago? So we went down there. She checked him first time. First time we went, something happened where the insurance didn't carry over or something, so we had to leave. I drove all the way down to Miami on my off day. Drove all the way down there, came all the way back. I'm like, it's okay. So we actually went just previously to where she seen him again. She was like, and she sat in the chair. She's like, Dad, this is really good. He doesn't need surgery. She said, she was like, it's really good. Like, she was like, no, just keep doing it. And I went, thank you, Lord. One, for me not being upset and going off on the man. You know, I wasn't going to cuss at him. But, you know, it's you know, when it comes to my wife, Lord, you know. But just thanking God, because just me not accepting what that man told me, it was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to need surgery. And for that to happen, just say, God, thank you, because it's you all the way in every area. So thank you, Jesus. Even if I have to drive to Alaska, Lord, just for your blessing, I'll go get it. So God bless y'all.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his provision. Amen. And that. All right. God bless you, brother.
God bless you tonight. Just speaking about the grace of God, I should have given this testimony like a month and a half ago. It was the week of the meetings, and I was driving, I think it was down Seminole Pratt, I believe, and I was in a hurry to get home. I was probably going like 15 over, and this cop was undercover, and I saw him, and I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So it hit the lights on. Stopped me. He's like, you know what you're being pulled over for? I knew, but I was like, no, what am I being pulled over for? No, I'm being pulled over for. He's like, you know, he's going 15 and you're going 15 over. I was like, oh, I just told him, like, you know, I was just ready to get home. I'm tired. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, Lord, you know I deserve this ticket. You know, I was going 15 over. I can't dispute it. So he comes back, picks, sorry, I'm going to give you a warning. I'm not going to give you a ticket. And I just was just like, wow, you know, just the grace of God, just, you know, talking about it tonight, because I was ready to get like a $200 ticket or however it was going to be, and I was ready, you know, Lord, I'm going to pay it because I deserve it. But, you know, the grace of God allowed the officer, because I just handled it cool. I wasn't rude to the officer. I was just like, you know, just acting real, you know, real nice to him. And he came back and just gave me a warning. I still got the ticket in my car, like the warning part of it. I had for a reminder. So I don't go so I'm gonna go 15 over again. So but just you know, testifying the grace of God. I should have given this testimony weeks or a month and a half ago, but just to testify how good God is to us, even when we do something like that, you know, his grace protects us. So but definitely don't do it again, because
amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Certainly thank God for that grace, brother. Yeah, I've been down that road myself before, so I know what that's like. God is good. Amen. Anybody else want to share tonight before we? Okay, come on, brother.
God bless you, saints. It's a testimony that occurred today. So started last night. I was on my way home, and my wife reached out to me and asked me to stop by and get a few things before I got home. And I was looking for my wallet, and I couldn't locate it anywhere. First thing that came to mind is I forgot it at work. So I told myself the next day I'd just go in and just pick it up. So I went to work, and when I got there, I couldn't find it. And I was pretty certain that it was there, and I looked everywhere, and And I just said a short, quick prayer, and I just said, Lord, I know it's not at the house, but I know that faith can put it there. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, just help me find it wherever it is. And I just started to make a few phone calls, retrace my steps. And within that same hour, a brother called me that I was with and told me he had found my wallet. So I want to thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. That's a real blessing. I was thinking on Brother Billy Paul. Him and his wife were here, and I believe it was down in Miami somewhere one time visiting, and they were just walking along the beach, and she lost her ring. And he prayed a very similar prayer, like, Lord, all this sand on the beach, God, I need to find a ring. And I don't know where it is on this beach, but I'm just trusting that you'll bring it to us. And all he did was just dig down his hands in the sand. And when he come up, that ring come up with him. See, these are the things that Brother Quentin was just talking about. As believers, things should be different for us. We got God on our side, right? So we have to expect these type of things from our God. So thank God, brother, that he helped you find that wallet. Amen. Anybody else before we leave tonight? All right. Okay. All right. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say this before I can get it out of my mouth. Before we go tonight. It's Sister Erica's birthday on today. So we want to sing our birthday song, amen, to Sister Erica, since she's celebrating it here tonight. And the other thing I'm going to say, too, Sunday night, thank you all the saints that went out to support the service. It was a blessing seeing Spirit and Truth in the house. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Let's sing amen for Sister Erica. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Erica. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I was telling her on the way here, I come to realize this year, I don't know why I ain't recognize it before now, but her and I were born on the same day of the week, which means that our birthdays always fall on the same day of the week. So when we moved here into this location, if you all remember, it was July 30th. It was a Wednesday night, and it was my birthday. Well, it's her birthday on a Wednesday night. So I don't know why God did that. Amen. But God did that thing. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God for her. Just appreciate her just standing by my side and just being eyes that I need. When I can't see things, I can't hear things, she got me covered. So I just appreciate her so much and thank God for giving her another year. Amen. Here, praise the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Amen. As we prepare to dismiss on tonight. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. God, we thank you for these wonderful testimonies that we've heard and how you have moved in the lives of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the word that was spoken to our hearts tonight. Thank you for Brother Quentin just getting himself out of the way and allowing you, Father, to just to use them for your glory. Lord, we just appreciate all that we see you doing in our midst. We could never repay you. We see restoration. We see deliverance. We see overflow. God, we see it all just happening right before us. So, Lord, we're just so grateful. Lord, we're preparing to leave this place but we're not leaving your presence. May we go reflecting and thinking on the things that have been spoken to us, and we ask that you would keep us encouraged and strengthened throughout the rest of the week, Lord, that we'll come back on Sunday morning under expectation for you to meet us once again. God, we're careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.